And we turn to Isaiah chapter 55. It's not always clear to see who is speaking here, as it isn't in the Song of Solomon always, because there seems to be some shift. But you won't go far wrong if you think of it as the Lord Jesus Christ pleading to men and to women. I was always taught at sermon class, and I don't agree with this, that you should not be provocative in any way or in your face in any way. And these are precisely the things that we do see in the preaching of the apostles and here in the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes upon by his spirit. He's not in the marketplace. He's not speaking out loud. He's speaking through the written word. And he says, "Ho, pay attention. Come and listen to me. Everyone that thirsteth." And some ears begin to prick up. Some people hearing know instinctively that it's not physical thirst that's being talked about. It's a spiritual thirst. And they understand without putting it into words a little something of what that means. Why am I restless? Why am I cast down? Why is it that I sin? Why is it that I'm so impatient? Why is it that I'm not consistent? Something's wrong fundamentally. No good treating the symptoms. No good saying, "Well, I can get rid of your quick temper." If the rest isn't dealt with, then it all comes from the same fount. So they understand that when the Lord Jesus Christ calls them who are thirsty, that's me, they say. I am thirsty. I do not see God. I do not understand so many issues. It's a vast universe, and I'm in it, but I don't understand so much of it. I'm needful in a hugely populated world. And dear Lord Jesus, are you calling me? Are you saying, everyone that thirsteth? Because I feel one of those everyone's, maybe me. Are you calling me to yourself? Come to the waters. Are you saying to me to come? You're talking about drink, and I can understand that you're talking about waters, and we can come and we can drink from fresh running water. Many places in the world, of course, do not have fresh running water, and it's disease-ridden. But you're saying to me, spiritually, come to the waters, untainted, genuine, spiritual truth from the Saviour who alone is the way and the truth and the life. So, dear Saviour, is it me you're talking to? Everyone that thirsteth, that's me. Come ye to the waters. How shall I do that? But the waters are in thee. And he that hath no money. I haven't got any money, I'm poor. Person might say. I'd love to have a good drink of good, fresh, pure water. But I can't pay for it. I haven't got any money. I'm one of the dispossessed. I'm one of those who can never get free of the caste into which I've been put. And then you say, everyone come, I couldn't buy it. But spiritual salvation isn't to be paid for. You can come. and you may receive. And it's a gift. You don't have to pay. And then you get this lovely double meaning. Come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. The double meaning of without price. Come and have it. It's priceless. But if it's priceless, all the gold in the world couldn't buy it. And of course, the other meaning of without price is it's free. Come, buy, and eat. Think of it as if you were buying it. You would think, is this the best value that can be had for the money I've got? Is this what I really fancy, or should I look at the next shop, whether it's for nicer cakes or for a better ring? But if we're going to buy, we look. But here's a person maybe who hasn't got money. And yet the scripture is saying, the Lord Jesus is saying, come and buy it. That is to say, it is free, but you must value it. You must understand that this is most valuable, most worthwhile, the most valuable thing in all the world. Because it is free, it isn't cheap. Because it isn't free, it's not meaningless or pointless. It's free. And it is the most valuable thing in all the world to be saved, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to have one's sins atoned for, all of them, of all time, by the blood of the Lord Jesus shed on Calvary, to be clothed in his righteousness. Come to the Lord Jesus. This is priceless. But it's free. And the Savior goes on, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? People earn well in our land on the whole today. And yet when you look into what most people spend their money on, while it's not for us to be critical, money is largely spent on things that with the passing of this world will pass away. But of course the Lord Jesus says the Lord will give you your clothes. You mustn't make it your first concern. But then you think of false religions and their priests and their scholars. And they spend their money and their time and their life and their energies on something that's empty, that has no value at all. Now, this may not be you, says the Lord Jesus, but you know that much of your lifetime's labor and your earning power goes into things that will not save you. Why? Do you do these things? Why do you not give first priority? Why do you not seek you first the kingdom of God? And these things shall be added unto you. Why do you spend money? Why have you got it all wrong? Why do you do it for that which is not bread? Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? It does amount to the earning of money, doesn't it? Why do you spend your labor, all that hard work you do, for that which does not satisfy? Think of the people who aim to get to the top of this or that profession. What do they give up for that? Human relationships? So they can study? Cheating other human beings so that they can be political leaders? But whatever it is, why do we spend our labor for that which does not satisfy? Now you can see that when the Lord Jesus says this thing, if we feel that this is us, a radical change is going to be needed. I wrote in my last letter with the gospel message around their villages, and I said, come and hear this precious gospel. I didn't use the word precious. This gospel preached every Sunday. And then I put at the end, I know that changing a Sunday lifestyle is very difficult. It depends what you consider your priorities. Give it a go. I think it was something like that. I said, it depends what we consider our priorities. And if our labor does not satisfy, then we've got our priorities wrong. And the usual response to having priorities wrong, if they're pointed out to you, is, well, just leave me alone. I want to get on with what I'm good at doing. But there is something better. And it is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord says, hearken diligently unto me and eat that which is good. Listen carefully. Let your soul, delight itself in fatness, the eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, fellowship with the Saviour, and so on. Incline your ears, says Jesus, and come unto me. Hear. Ye that have ears to hear, let him hear. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even what I promised to David, even the sure mercies of David, that his house would continue. That the Lord Jesus Christ succeeding in the flesh, the kingship of David, would bring eternal life to the world. This is the kingdom. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The new covenant is the covenant for believers who come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Incline your ear. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. God makes an everlasting covenant. What does that mean to us? That our life is on a different level. That our life is on a surer foundation. Christ is that sure foundation. I've given him, that's David, for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. But those who believe in me among his people, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, Jews and Gentiles, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, nations that knew thee not, because it's a Judeo-Christian religion, shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God. There will be those who want to hear about God, who don't hear much about God, and who will lap up all of it. Because of the Lord thy God, they'll run unto thee for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. And the Lord turns to the individual. Seek ye the Lord. Well, he is plural. He's talking to everyone, but he's talking to them as individuals. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Now, it can be put off. It can be put off time and time and time again till there is time no longer. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. If the preaching of the gospel is being preached and proclaimed, then there is still time. But it may be even in our land that it will be repressed, that very few people will hear the gospel, very few people will read the Bible. We know the Lord's people will be there when he returns, but we can't be sure. If we don't take the gospel opportunity that is presented to us on any given occasion, we can't be sure that we will be received. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. We go home. Perhaps we remember an incident from the New Testament, from the life of the Lord Jesus. But it has no effect on us once we get out of the situation. call upon him while he is near. The sort of thing I think that does happen to people is what happened to me when I felt the call to the ministry, as I related to you today. I heard the sermon from Isaiah 6, and I knew it was for me. But I equally knew, and this was my battle before the end of the sermon, that if I didn't go and tell somebody, it would just vanish. I would never do it. I'd pretend I hadn't heard it. So I said, the only thing to do is to go and tell my minister, which is what I did. And it's gone on from there. But I did know that if I didn't respond while the opportunity was there, it might be gone forever. It might be an Esther opportunity. Who knows whether thou art come to the throne for such a time as this? Who knows if you don't take on that call to be saved or whatever, who knows that it may go to someone else or come to some other way? Let the wicked forsake his way. All right. So, I don't remember all that long ago. It might have been my argument when I was listening to the sermon. I don't know. I was saved. But perhaps I thought of my remaining wickedness. And I thought, you can't use me. I'm too wicked. People do think I'd love to be saved, but I can't be saved. I've done this and I've done that and I've done the other thing. That's not true. That's what Satan would like you to think. But the Lord has mercy on the wicked, even the most wicked. Let the wicked forsake his way. It's very clear, isn't it? Seek the Lord while he's found. And even if you're wicked, even if you're burdened with sins, even if you've got habits that you can't loosen from, forsake your way. And you begin with an habitual thing by disowning it. Habits aren't always easy to get out of. They don't always go straight away. But they can be disowned. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. See, not only doings, but thinkings. Thinkings lead to doings. Listen to the gospel. Seek him. And even if you're a deep-dyed sinner, turn unto the Lord. He will have mercy. Mercy upon all you've done. Mercy upon those whom you've harmed. Turn to the Lord and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Without money, without price, freely. The characteristic of God is abundance. When you think of the world that he created, created world, all the different things in that world. Abundance is the mark of God. He will abundantly pardon. He will show abundant mercy. He will give abundant understanding. He will keep you abundantly in his way. He does abundantly pardon. You can read the rest of the chapter for yourself. But the Lord Jesus says, you think there's no hope. How will God save such a sinner as I am? But I don't think like that. That's not my way of thinking. My glory is shown by transforming even the worst of sinners. That's actually not here. But it's what he's saying. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are like the heaven that is higher. My thoughts are like the rain that comes from heaven, and the word never goes forth and ever is void. And it may be that you may be pardoned. It may be that you may receive mercy. It may be that you will turn to the Saviour. It may be that you will go out with joy and discover that instead of the sin, there is the love, joy, peace of the Saviour. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be for an everlasting sign. That will be the beginning of everlasting life of every soul who comes to the Lord for salvation. May none of us who hear miss it. Amen.